The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
It's Good Friday, the day of our Lord's passion and death. I'm Paul Sadek, and this is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today is Friday, March 29th, 2024. It's liturgical year B, cycle 2. Friday is a day to pray the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary. Let's offer this day to the Lord. Into thy hands, O God, we commend ourselves this day and all those who are dear to us. Let the gift of thy wonderful presence be with us even to the end of the day. Grant that we never lose sight of thee all the day long, but rather praise and beseech thee that our thanks may come to thee again at its close. Amen. And with Pope Francis, we pray that those who risk their lives for the gospel in various parts of the world inflame the church with their courage and missionary enthusiasm. 10 Minutes with Jesus is a guided meditation on the gospel of the day prepared by a Catholic priest. Here's today's 10 Minutes with Jesus.
My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Enter into the wounds of Christ crucified. These are some words of Saint Jose Maria that could help us today on this very special and holy day of Good Friday. Enter into the wounds of Christ crucified. In Holy Week and in the sacred triduum that we're now going through, we don't just recall a past event. No, we somehow share in it. We take part. Through the liturgy, we're not just having an historical commemoration of something that happened 2,000 years ago, but through the liturgy, through the life of the Church, through grace, we enter into the mystery of Christ. Therefore, today on Good Friday, we truly share in the passion of our Lord. We're truly present there. And what a wonderful and beautiful thing that is, because it gives us the opportunity to console Jesus, to be close to him. Jesus, we hear your plea in the Garden of Gethsemane. Can you not watch with me 1 hour? Well, Lord Jesus, today I really do want to watch with you. I want to be close to you. And I can do so. I can do so through the liturgy, through the life of the Church. In the first reading at today's celebration of the Passion of the Lord, we have that beautiful portrait of you, Jesus. So beautiful. From the book of Isaiah, the prophet, one of the songs of the suffering servant. It was our infirmities that he bore, our sufferings that he endured, while we thought of him as stricken, as one smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our offenses, crushed for our sins. Upon him was the chastisement that makes us whole. By his wounds, we were healed. Lord Jesus, by your wounds, we are healed. What an incredible depth of mercy and love and compassion is contained in those words. What a mystery that you and I could be healed by the wounds of someone else, in this case, the wounds of Jesus. We ask the Holy Spirit to help us to deepen in our understanding of this great mystery of God's love. When we contemplate you, Jesus, the suffering servant, one of the qualities that most impresses us is your patience. And of course, patience is so linked to the passion. Both words, patience and passion, come from the Latin word passio, suffering, or patior, to suffer. So the passion of Jesus on the cross, your passion, Lord, is a love, a loving suffering, a suffering of love. It's the patience of God, the patience of God. We often get to see, I suppose, the substance, the value, the depth of a person when they're suffering. And we see this very much in our Lord, that you, Jesus, well, your love incarnate, basically. That's who you are. Your love made flesh. You are love made wounds. for love of us. Truly, your passion is the greatest expression, the greatest proof that God is love. And it's shown, above all, in your patience, that you go at God's pace. You don't rush through the passion. You take one trembling step after another towards Calvary. You let yourself be mocked and tortured and spat upon. You are nailed to the cross. And only when it's all done, when it is finished, only at that point do you, with sovereign freedom and with immense love, bow your head and give up your spirit. The patience of Jesus, the patience of the Lamb. This is how we can come to understand God's love for us. Jesus, I ask you for myself and for everybody in the church that during this Holy Triduum, we may have a deeper, we may reach a deeper understanding of the depths of your love for us. And certainly meditating on the song of the suffering servant, as we see here in Isaiah, can help us to come to terms with the patience of our Lord. A Christian patience in general, the patience in our own lives, is a fruit of and a sharing in the patience of Jesus on Calvary. Even in the simple little things, you know, when you and I have to be patient in an awkward conversation or a boring job, or we're suffering from a headache or a cold, and we just have to be patient. Or it can be a more serious demand for patience if we've got a very difficult ongoing situation, a chronic situation to deal with. That's, I suppose, the patience we need. And first and foremost, we know it is a grace of God. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, firstly, I ask you to grant me the grace of patience. It is a gift. It is a miracle, you might say. Often we might say, I'm at the end of my tether. You know, I just can't take any more. And then we need to go to our Lord and humbly ask for patience. John Cassian, the Christian writer who dies around the year 435, he relates that there was an old man in Alexandria who was surrounded by a mob who were shouting insults against him for being a Christian. And the old man, he stood in the middle like a lamb, suffering in silence, but with great peace of heart. And the mob was mocking him and hitting him. And among other things, they shouted at him with a lot of scorn, "What miracles has Jesus Christ performed?" And on this occasion, the old man answered back. He says, "One of his miracles is that suffering the injuries that you are doing to me, I feel no indignation or anger against you, no irritation or passion within me." That was the miracle. The miracle was that this man was able to carry the cross with our Lord, to bear lovingly the insults. Lord, I ask you to give me patience, you know, in the little and big battles of my own life. We sometimes, I suppose, tend to rush through the difficulties or rebel against challenges. The Tower of London, we know among the prisoners who were kept there over the years were a number of Christian martyrs, including St. Thomas More, many great people who were there. And on the walls, on one of the walls in the Tower of London, there's this phrase has been scratched by some of the prisoners. And it says, "It is not adversity that kills, but the impatience with which we bear with adversity." That's true, isn't it? That, yeah, we have difficulties, we have moments of pain or of suffering, but insofar as we're willing to carry the cross of Jesus and go at his pace, all goes well. All is fine. It's not the adversity itself that kills, but the impatience with which we bear with adversity. Lord Jesus, as I contemplate you through the eyes of the prophet Isaiah, I see patience personified. I see a loving passion. And I see the way of life to which we're all called as Christians, as followers of the Lord, as disciples of the Lord. Though he was harshly treated, he submitted and opened not his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, or a sheep before the shearers, he was silent and opened not his mouth. We think of the patience of our Lord before Pilate, the patience of our Lord on the cross. Lord, how beautiful is your patience, how much it shows your heart. We, in a sense, see the value, the substance of a person when they're suffering. We certainly see the substance of Jesus in the Passion. Mary, Mother of Sorrows, pray for us. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my Guardian Angel, intercede for me.
And you'll find more of 10 Minutes with Jesus at relevantradio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. This liturgical day begins in just a few minutes on Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's Good Friday, March 29th, 2024. I'm Paul Sadek, and this is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. We begin this day of prayer with the whole church as we're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in the Invitatory Psalm and the Office of Readings.
Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise.
Come, let us worship Christ, the Son of God, who redeemed us with his blood.
Come, let us sing to the Lord, and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving, and sing joyful songs to the Lord.
Come, let us worship Christ, the Son of God, who redeemed us with his blood.
The Lord is God, the mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth, and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs to him, the dry land too, for it was formed by his hand.
Come, let us worship Christ, the Son of God, who redeemed us with his blood.
Come then, let us bow down and worship, bending the knee before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are his people, the flock he shepherds.
Come, let us worship Christ, the Son of God, who redeemed us with his blood.
Today, listen to the voice of the Lord. Do not grow stubborn as your fathers did in the wilderness, when at Meribah and Massah they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works.
Come, let us worship Christ, the Son of God, who redeemed us with his blood.
40 years I endured that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest.
Come, let us worship Christ, the Son of God, who redeemed us with his blood.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Come, let us worship Christ, the Son of God, who redeemed us with his blood.
Earthly kings rise up in revolt. Princes conspire together against the Lord and his anointed.
Earthly kings rise up in revolt. Princes conspire together against the Lord and his anointed.
Why this tumult among nations, among peoples, this useless murmuring? They arise, the kings of the earth. Princes plot against the Lord and his anointed. Come, let us break their fetters. Come, let us cast off their yoke.
He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord is laughing them to scorn. Then he will speak in his anger. His rage will strike them with terror. It is I who have set up my king on Zion, my holy mountain.
I will announce the decree of the Lord. The Lord said to me, "You are my son. It is I who have begotten you this day. Ask, and I shall bequeath you the nations, put the ends of the earth in your possession. With a rod of iron you will break them, shatter them like a potter's jar."
Now, O kings, understand, take warning, rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with awe and trembling, pay him your homage, lest he be angry and you perish. For suddenly his anger will blaze.
Blessed are they who put their trust in God.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Earthly kings rise up in revolt. Princes conspire together against the Lord and his anointed.
They divided my garments among them. They cast lots for my clothing.
They divided my garments among them. They cast lots for my clothing.
My God, why have you forsaken me? You are far from my plea,
and the cry of my distress. O my God, I call by day and you give no reply. I call by night and I find no peace.
Yet you, O God, are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted, and you set them free. When they cried to you, they escaped. In you they trusted, and never in vain.
But I am a worm and no man, scorned by men, despised by the people. All who see me deride me. They curl their lips, they toss their heads. He trusted in the Lord. Let him save him. Let him release him, if this is his friend.
Yes, it was you who took me from the womb, entrusted me to my mother's breast. To you I was committed from my birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not leave me alone in my distress. Come close, there is none else to help.
Many bulls have surrounded me, fierce bulls of Bashan close me in. Against me they open wide their jaws like lions rending and roaring.
Like water I am poured out. Disjointed are all my bones. My heart has become like wax. It is melted within my breast.
Parched as burnt clay is my throat. My tongue cleaves to my jaws.
Many dogs have surrounded me. A band of the wicked beset me. They tear holes in my hands and my feet and lay me in the dust of death.
I can count every one of my bones. These people stare at me and gloat. They divided my clothing among them. They cast lots for my robe.
O Lord, do not leave me alone. My strength, make haste to help me.
Rescue my soul from the sword, my life from the grip of these dogs. Save my life from the jaws of these lions and my poor soul from the horns of these oxen.
I will tell of your name to my brethren and praise you where they are assembled.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
They divided my garments among them. They cast lots for my clothing.
They sought to take my life by violence.
They sought to take my life by violence.
O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger. Do not punish me, Lord, in your rage. Your arrows have sunk deep in me. Your hand has come down upon me. Through your anger, all my body is sick. Through my sin, there is no health in my limbs.
My guilt towers higher than my head. It is a weight too heavy to bear. My wounds are foul and festering. They are the result of my own folly. I am bowed and brought to my knees. I go mourning all the day long.
All my frame burns with fever. All my body is sick, spent, and utterly crushed. I cry aloud in anguish of heart.
O Lord, you know all my longing. My groans are not hidden from you. My heart throbs. My strength is spent. The very light has gone from my eyes.
My friends avoid me like a leper. Those closest to me stand afar off. Those who plot against my life lay snares. Those who seek my ruin speak of harm, planning treachery all the day long.
But I am like the deaf who cannot hear, like the dumb unable to speak. I am like a man who hears nothing, in whose mouth is no defense.
I count on you, O Lord. It is you, Lord God, who will answer. I pray, do not let them mock me, those who triumph if my foot should slip.
For I am on the point of falling, and my pain is always before me. I confess that I am guilty, and my sin fills me with dismay.
My wanton enemies are numberless, and my lying foes are many. They repay me evil for good, and attack me for seeking what is right.
O Lord, do not forsake me. My God, do not stay afar off. Make haste and come to my help, O Lord, my God, my Savior.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
They sought to take my life by violence.
They brought false evidence against me.
They were breathing out fury.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. When Christ came as high priest of the good things which have come to be, he entered once for all into the sanctuary, passing through the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made by hands, that is, not belonging to this creation. He entered not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, and achieved eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of a heifer's ashes can sanctify those who are defiled, so that their flesh is cleansed, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself up, unblemished, to God, cleanse our consciences from dead works to worship the living God? This is why he is mediator of a new covenant. Since his death has taken place for deliverance from transgressions committed under the first covenant, those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Where there is a testament, it is necessary that the death of the testator be confirmed, for a testament comes into force only in the case of death. It has no force while the testator is alive. Hence, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. When Moses had read all the commandments of the law to the people, he took the blood of goats and calves, together with water and crimson wool and hyssop, and sprinkled the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has enjoined upon you." He also sprinkled the tabernacle and all the vessels of worship with blood. According to the law, almost everything is purified by blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It was necessary that the copies of the heavenly models be purified in this way, but the heavenly realities themselves called for better sacrifices. For Christ did not enter into a sanctuary made by hands, a mere copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, that he might appear before God now on our behalf. Not that he might offer himself there again and again as the high priest enters year after year into the sanctuary with blood that is not his own. If that were so, he would have had to suffer death over and over from the creation of the world. But now he has appeared at the end of ages to take away sins once for all by his sacrifice. Just as it is appointed that men die once and after death be judged, so Christ was offered up once to take away the sins of many. He will appear a second time, not to take away sin, but to bring salvation to those who eagerly await him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. No complaint from his lips against the evil done to him. He was given up to death.
To give his people life.
He surrendered himself to death and was counted among the wicked.
To give his people life.
The second reading from Catechesis by St. John Chrysostom, Bishop. If we wish to understand the power of Christ's blood, we should go back to the ancient account of its prefiguration in Egypt. "Sacrifice a lamb without blemish," commanded Moses, "and sprinkle its blood on your doors." If we were to ask him what he meant and how the blood of an irrational beast could possibly save men endowed with reason, his answer would be that the saving power lies not in the blood itself, but in the fact that it is a sign of the Lord's blood. In those days, when the destroying angel saw the blood on the doors, he did not dare to enter. So how much less will the devil approach now when he sees not the figurative blood on the doors, but the true blood on the lips of believers, the doors of the temple of Christ? If you desire further proof of the power of this blood, remember where it came from, how it ran down from the cross, flowing from the Master's side. The Gospel records that when Christ was dead, but still hung on the cross, a soldier came and pierced his side with a lance, and immediately there poured out water and blood. Now the water was a symbol of baptism and the blood of the Holy Eucharist. The soldier pierced the Lord's side. He breached the wall of the sacred temple, and I have found the treasure and made it my own. So also with the lamb, the Jews sacrificed the victim, and I have been saved by it. There flowed from his side water and blood. Beloved, do not pass over this mystery without thought. It has yet another hidden meaning, which I will explain to you. I said that water and blood symbolized baptism and the Holy Eucharist. From these two sacraments, the Church is born. From baptism, the cleansing water that gives rebirth and renewal through the Holy Spirit, and from the Holy Eucharist. Since the symbols of baptism and the Eucharist flowed from his side, it was from his side that Christ fashioned the Church as he fashioned Eve from the side of Adam. Moses gives a hint of this when he tells the story of the first man and makes him exclaim, "Bone from my bones and flesh from my flesh." As God then took a rib from Adam's side to fashion a woman, so Christ has given us blood and water from his side to fashion the Church. God took the rib when Adam was in deep sleep, and in the same way, Christ gave us the blood and the water after his own death. Do you understand then how Christ has united his bride to himself and what food he gives us all to eat? By one and the same food, we are both brought into being and nourished. As a woman nourishes her child with her own blood and milk, so does Christ unceasingly nourish with his own blood those to whom he himself has given life. The price of your redemption was not something of fleeting value like gold or silver, but the costly shedding of the blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish.
Through him, in the one Spirit, we can approach the Father.
The blood of Jesus Christ washes away all our sins.
Through him, in the one Spirit, we can approach the Father.
Let us pray. Father, look with love upon your people, the love which our Lord Jesus Christ showed us when he delivered himself to evil men and suffered the agony of the cross, for he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
The reading of the Passion is coming right up on Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Welcome back to Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm Paul Sadek. It's Good Friday. There is no Mass celebrated today, but in the liturgies that take place, the reading of the Passion is prominent. From Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, The Passion of Our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John.
When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, procuring a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to befall him, came forward.
Whom do you seek?
Jesus of Nazareth.
I am he.
Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground.
Whom do you seek?
Jesus of Nazareth.
I told you that I am he. So, if you seek me, let these men go.
This was to fulfill the word which he had spoken. Of those whom thou gavest me, I lost not one. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus.
Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which the Father has given me?
So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews seized Jesus and bound him. First, they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had given counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. As this disciple was known to the high priest, he entered the court of the high priest along with Jesus, while Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the maid who kept the door and brought Peter in. The maid who kept the door said to Peter,
"Are not you also one of this man's disciples?"
"I am not."
Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him,
"I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all Jews come together. I have said nothing secretly. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said."
When he had said this, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand.
"Is that how you answer the high priest?"
"If I have spoken wrongly, bear witness to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?"
Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They said to him,
"Are not you also one of his disciples?"
"I am not."
One of the servants of the high priest, a kinsman of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked,
"Did I not see you in the garden with him?"
Peter again denied it. And at once the cock crowed. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the praetorium. It was early. They themselves did not enter the praetorium so that they might not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them.
"What accusation do you bring against this man?"
"If this man were not an evildoer, we would not have handed him over."
"Take him yourself and judge him by your own law."
"It is not lawful for us to put any man to death."
This was to fulfill the word which Jesus had spoken to show by what death he was to die. Pilate entered the praetorium again and called Jesus.
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
"Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?"
"Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priest have handed you over to me. What have you done?"
"My kingship is not of this world. If my kingship were of this world, my servants would fight that I might not be handed over to the Jews. But my kingship is not from the world."
"So you are a king?"
"You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice."
"What is truth?"
After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again.
"I find no crime in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. Will you have me release for you the king of the Jews?"
They cried out,
"Not this man, but Barabbas."
Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe.
"Hey, king of the Jews."
And struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again.
"See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no crime in him."
So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe.
"Behold the man."
When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out,
"Crucify him!
Crucify him!
Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no crime in him."
"We have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God."
When Pilate heard these words, he was the more afraid. He entered the praetorium again and said to Jesus,
"Where are you from?"
But Jesus gave no answer.
"You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to release you and power to crucify you?"
"You
would have no power over me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin.
Upon this, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out,
"If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king sets himself against Caesar."
When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat at a place called the Pavement, and in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now, it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews,
"Behold, your king!
Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!
Shall I crucify your king?"
"We have no king but Caesar."
Then Pilate handed Jesus over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the Place of a Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote a title and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. The chief priests of the Jews then said to Pilate,
"Do not write the King of the Jews, but this man said, 'I am King of the Jews.'"
"What I have written, I have written."
When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and made four parts, one for each soldier. Also his tunic. But the tunic was without seam, woven from top to bottom. So they said to one another,
"Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, to see whose it shall be."
This was to fulfill the scripture, "They parted my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did this. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother,
"Woman, behold your son."
Then he said to the disciple,
"Behold your mother."
And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture,
"I thirst."
A bowl full of vinegar stood there. So they put a sponge full of the vinegar on hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the vinegar, he said,
"It is finished."
And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, in order to prevent the bodies from remaining on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled, "Not a bone of him shall be broken." And again, another scripture says, "They shall look on him whom they have pierced." After this, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who had at first come to him by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. They took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb where no one had ever been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, as the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there.
This selection from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible courtesy of Falcon Picture Group, you'll find daily and Sunday Mass readings on the Relevant Radio app. Let's continue praying now. We join the whole church as we're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in morning prayer.
God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
God did not spare his own Son, but gave him up to suffer for our sake.
Have mercy on me, God, in your kindness. In your compassion, blot out my offense. Oh, wash me more and more from my guilt, and cleanse me from my sin.
My offenses, truly, I know them. My sin is always before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned. What is evil in your sight, I have done.
That you may be justified when you give sentence, and be without reproach when you judge. Oh, see, in guilt I was born. A sinner was I conceived.
Indeed, you love truth in the heart. Then in the secret of my heart, teach me wisdom. O purify me, then I shall be clean. O wash me, I shall be whiter than snow.
Make me hear rejoicing and gladness, that the bones you have crushed may revive. From my sins turn away your face, and blot out all my guilt.
A pure heart create for me, O God. Put a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, nor deprive me of your Holy Spirit.
Give me again the joy of your help. With a spirit of fervor, sustain me, that I may teach transgressors your ways, and sinners may return to you.
O rescue me, God my helper, and my tongue shall ring out your goodness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise.
For in sacrifice you take no delight. Burnt offering from me you would refuse. My sacrifice, a contrite spirit, a humbled contrite heart, you will not spurn.
In your goodness, show favor to Zion. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with lawful sacrifice, holocausts offered on your altar.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
God did not spare his own Son, but gave him up to suffer for our sake.
Jesus Christ loved us and poured out his own blood for us to wash away our sins.
O Lord, I have heard your renown and feared, O Lord, your work. In the course of the years, revive it. In the course of the years, make it known. In your wrath, remember compassion.
God comes from Taman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. Covered are the heavens with his glory, and with his praise the earth is filled.
His splendor spreads like the light. Rays shine forth from beside him, where his power is concealed. You come forth to save your people, to save your anointed one.
You tread the sea with your steeds amid the churning of the deep waters. I hear, and my body trembles. At the sound, my lips quiver.
Decay invades my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. I await the day of distress that will come upon the people who attack us.
For though the fig tree blossom not, nor fruit be on the vines, though the yield of the olive fail and the terraces produce no nourishment, though the flocks disappear from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord and exalt in my saving God.
God, my Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet swift as those of hinds, and enables me to go upon the heights.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Jesus Christ loved us, and poured out his own blood for us, to wash away our sins. We worship your cross, O Lord, and we praise and glorify your holy resurrection. For the wood of the cross has brought joy to the world.
O praise the Lord, Jerusalem. Zion, praise your God.
He has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed the children within you. He established peace on your borders. He feeds you with the finest wheat.
He sends out his word to the earth and swiftly runs his command. He showers down snow, white as wool. He scatters hoarfrost like ashes.
He hurls down hailstones like crumbs. The waters are frozen at his touch. He sends forth his word and it melts them. At the breath of his mouth, the waters flow.
He makes his word known to Jacob, to Israel, his laws and decrees. He has not dealt thus with other nations. He has not taught them his decrees.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. We worship your cross, O Lord, and we praise and glorify your holy resurrection. For the wood of the cross has brought joy to the world.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be raised high and greatly exalted. Even as many were amazed at him, so marred was his look beyond that of man, and his appearance beyond that of mortals. So shall he startle many nations. Because of him, kings shall stand speechless. For those who have not been told shall see. Those who have not heard shall ponder it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For our sake, Christ was obedient, accepting even death on a cross.
For our sake, Christ was obedient, accepting even death on a cross.
Over his head they hung their accusation. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free.
He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David.
Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us.
He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant.
This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life.
You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Over his head they hung their accusation. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews.
For our sake, our Redeemer suffered death and was buried and rose again. With heartfelt love, let us adore him and pray, Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, our teacher, for our sake you were obedient even to accepting death.
Teach us to obey the Father's will in all things.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, our life, by your death on the cross, you destroyed the power of evil and death.
May we die with you, to rise with you in glory.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, our King, you became an outcast among us, a worm and no man.
Teach us the humility by which you saved the world.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, our salvation, you gave yourself up to death out of love for us.
Help us to show your love to one another.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, our Savior, on the cross you embraced all time with your outstretched arms.
unite God's scattered children in your kingdom of salvation.
Lord, have mercy on us.
And now let us pray as the Lord told us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Father, look with love upon your people. The love which our Lord Jesus Christ showed us when he delivered himself to evil men and suffered the agony of the cross. For he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
I'm Paul Sadek. I'll see you tomorrow morning, 4 a.m. Central, or on the Relevant Radio app. In the meantime, you go out and make this a great and blessed day, and live in the light of the Lord.
Audio from the Liturgy of the Hours, courtesy of DivineOffice.org. Readings from In Conversation with God, courtesy of Scepter Publishers. Selections from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. 10 minutes with Jesus is used with permission. Daybreak is available on RelevantRadio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. Daybreak is a production of Relevant Radio.